Hello, listeners. This podcast is hosted by International Idea. In the next minutes, we will help you make sense of what's happening today in democracy worldwide.
Hello, my name is Marcus Brandt. I'm the head of mission of International Idea's Myanmar program. And today I have the great honor and pleasure to talk to Kuntida Rungroenchiat, who from Thailand, who has been with us at our IDEA headquarters in Stockholm to participate in the launch of our Global State of Democracy report. Kuntida, I would like to talk to you a bit more in detail about the recent developments in terms of democratic change in Thailand, since the whole world has been following this very closely in recent months, and you have yourself played not an insignificant role in these developments in the past. Just a few words about yourself. You're a former MP and used to be deputy leader of the Future Forward Party and are now banned from elected office for the next few years due to your activities. Nevertheless, you're active as the head of the Progressive Movement Foundation and play an active role in building democratic culture, democratic practices from the ground up. Kuntida, thank you very much for taking the time to talk to us. We would like to pick up on the conversation yesterday at the launch of the Global State of Democracy report, which highlighted there are trends of contraction around the world, but also bright spots of hope. Now, where would you see Thailand in all of this? Is it an example for a contracting democracy? Is it even a democratic system at all? And what is sort of the lesson of the past 10 years of struggling for the return to democracy, and what has been your personal experience in this?
Thank you, Marcus and IDEA International for having me. Thailand is a very interesting case because when you look at the forces, you look at from top down and then bottom up, you see different trends. From the top perspective, when you look at the formal structure and the institutions, you realize that the establishment has been trying to contract the civic space through different means. And if we draw a starting point from the coup in 2014, then we were having almost a decade of military junta in power. And that means automatically, naturally, the civic spaces have been restricted and limited. But also we realize that the methodology of the military junta has also been changing. So in the past, we have not seen another coup. Of course, we don't want to see another coup, but we see the weaponizing of the laws to silence people instead. And also we see the structures in the parliamentary process. We see two military-led political parties. So, military generals turn into politicians and participate in the elections and in the parliamentary process. We also see that our judiciary system may not be as independent as it should be. The electoral bodies and also the, for example, the constitutional court. So these, looking from the top, it seems quite restricted. Well, while you look from the bottom up and you look from people's perspective, you see that people have become more creative in trying to maneuver around the labyrinth that the military has laid up as the system. We realize that, oh yes, there are large number of political charges against people. almost 2,000 accumulated. We saw the mass protests, the university-led, university students-led protests. We also see huge participation during the last election. The voters turned out is the record high. The people going to monitor the counting at the polling stations, the CSO ILAW counted 30,000 polling stations out of 98,000 polling stations that have volunteered, you know, monitoring the counts of the vote because they could not really trust the EC and the authorities. So, and also, you see opposition political party like Future Forward Party, that was my day, Move Forward Party, who have brought progressive agenda, reform agenda into the parliament, and that resonate also with the wishes and the expectations of, for example, the university students-led protesters and also people in general. Why? You cannot really look at the two forces separately. You know, when you are under the military control for the past decades, people have felt fed up of that. However, Thai people still have enough faith in the parliamentary system that they, you know, they participated peacefully in the protest, in the demonstrations, which is extremely normal in any country. They also make sure that they are active in the parliamentary process. They were active during the election campaigns. Even before the election campaigns, we see Thai people start to monitor the government, ask questions, follow the policies. You know, there's a check and balance that is definitely come from the pressure of the people into the system. Mm-hmm. So I see the contraction from the top, but I see a lot of hope and a lot of energy from the people. And that energy comes from the fact that it has been really a lost decade for Thai people.
Thank you. So let's just recap a little bit the developments of the last few months, since it in a way demonstrates that the democracy movement that has grown from bottom up still gives a minimum of faith into the democratic process, the elections under a constitution that is very clearly stacked against the elected popular majority with the 250 senators appointed by the previous military regime in order to determine on who gets the prime ministership. And so it's interesting that even though, you know, the anger of disempowerment could be understandable and, you know, the option of organizing large street protests was always there, it seems that, you know, the Move Forward Party, that which is now, you know, surprisingly won the elections with more votes, I think, than any other political party has ever received in an election, with more than 14.5 million voters supporting the party, but was eventually prevented from leading the governing coalition by the Senate refusing to accept a prime ministership from the Move Forward Party. Now, when the option was of, you know, basically, you know, revolting against that kind of that action to disempower the elected majority, instead Move Forward chose to, you know, go for the long haul. Basically, you know, Mr. Pita says, you know, I have time, you know, we can focus on the next elections. What gives you that certainty that time is on your side, and that this is this movement is here to stay, and that the old regime, it will not be able to mobilize lawfare and sort of state structures in order to scupper this this movement?
When you look at the number of the votes for Pure Thai, and for Move Forward Party, and you look at the proportion together, that's around 70%. And if you look back, that's the opposition. That's the shouts from people that we don't want the military-led government. So in that sense, it is so clear that the majority of people are okay with the reform agenda. They call for the reform in all sectors of the country. And not just that, if you look at the context, the environment and the atmosphere and the vibe during the election, the discussion on the debates, which the number of the debates are the highest of the records, you realize that the agenda on the debate panels are the reform agenda and the reform that we have not seen discussed in the public arena before, like the monarchy reform. So I think that last decades make people realize that we want change, and it's not just a change for tomorrow, a short-term kind of change, or, you know, just economic boost up kind of change. But in order for Thailand to really move forward and becomes a better version of Thailand, we need the structural change. And people have expressed that. And that is one reason why you see Khun Pita talked about that time is on our side. I think Thailand has seen the most active, the most vibrant, the most energetic generation ever, in Thailand's political history. And they're not energetic, or they're not vibrant, or they're not active in just one way, but they have been active in so many different segments of the society to, you know, put their energy out there for the change. And I think the public shout out for democracy is the reason why, you know, we are so confident that the change is coming. Maybe we don't know yet. Some estimated that Move Forward Party, Future Forward Party, would need around 12 years to become really successful to govern. Who knows? I mean, Move Forward already won the majority in the second election. I mean, this is so complicated in the first election. So that one. And you also, not just that, with the technology, with the social media, with the access to information, the new generation has changed, and they ask more questions. And, you know, when they ask questions, they have access to different kinds of information. And this is profound change. And you see a lot of discussions, conversations on the history, the part of the history, you know, the October massacre history and all that, that has not really been the popular discussion, but now become popular discussion. You see a lot of politics, you see political agenda, political issues creeping into entertainment business. So it's not just that the change happens, you know, in the parliament with Move Forward Party only. And now it is more in everybody's life that they realize that it is extremely important to engage. In order for change to happen, we must engage in the way that they can.
I think that is really extremely interesting, especially in the context of the global discussion on democracy, because you're describing traditional Asian society that has been a conservative monarchy for decades, for generations, that has never been anybody's colony, that has always, you know, been very proud of its independence. And there you have a homegrown movement of increased political consciousness and active citizenship that clearly demands dignity from, you know, in as part of the political system, and therefore a democratic, more equal political system. And this comes at a time when efforts to support democracy are often accused of being Western-driven, geopolitically informed, interventions from abroad. But Thailand seems to be, in a way, a good example for the homegrown nature of the demand for democracy in an Asian country. And I can also say that this phenomenon has been very interesting for your neighboring countries, in particular Myanmar, but also others, where, you know, they also see sort of in their own future a trajectory that might where they might follow Thailand in these footsteps. In Myanmar, of course, we have a military regime that is waging war against its own people after a constitutional system failed that was stacked up against democracy, with giving a quarter of the seats in parliament to the military. Thailand, in a way, the military post-coup regime learned the lesson from that and added that to one-third of seats in parliament, deciding the prime ministership, but nevertheless was not able to prevent this movement from growing from below. So I'm just wondering whether you could say a little bit about the activities of the Progressive Movement Foundation, on how you try to work on these sort of grassroots dimensions of a democratic society, and what your expectation for the future would be.
Right. When we start the foundation, we realized that, of course, for us, those who are disbanded, the space in the national level politics are no longer there. However, we see a lot of opportunities at the local administrations and at the local government level. We realize that local governments have not really been empowered, or they have not been given enough resources to, you know, make their livelihood better. And they are the one who are so close to people. They know each other. Everybody knows each other in a small village in Thailand. And so progressive movements start to do policy recommendations for the local governments. And I think this is an important as a mechanism and as a sentiment as well to restore the faith in democracy. Of course, Move Forward Party, it's doing things in the parliament, becoming the opposition, but becoming the opposition then is quite challenging to prove that democracy works. But with the local politics, bit by bit, people start seeing that, hey, if I elect that person, I vote for that person, and that person can, you know, respond to my demands as people, oh, it really works. And it's not just, you know, for the people. It's also proving to the bureaucrats and to the government, central government officials, that, hey, these guys, they know what to do with their people and what to do with their towns and cities. So, you know, give them more resource, give them more authority and power, and then people will become that check and balance for them. And it has been the case also in local governments. You see the trends in the last couple of years where people start to monitor the budget of the local governments and local administrations, asking questions like, why this is so expensive? So I think building democracy for us from the grassroots is as important as, you know, doing politics at the national level in a context like Thailand, where decentralization is still a process, not an outcome. And not just that, we also, as a foundation, we also provide information as I already mentioned, it is super important for people to have access to information. So we believe that we can provide knowledge, we can provide information about democracy, about different issues that people should, you know, question. And then they can carry on their discussion. They can carry on how, you know, how they want to build their cities, how they want to create the check and the balance system. We look at ourselves as platforms. We'll bring the knowledge we provide will also bring people together so that they can exchange, and then that change can happen. So you see that the work that the foundation is doing is really preparing the people, getting the people ready for the change. And I think this process is extremely vital to the whole movement and to the overall dynamics that have been going on. And good news is, it's not just Progressive Movement Foundation who's doing that in Thai society. There are other CSOs in Thai society who are trying to do the exact same thing. You know, part of what I'm doing would be some other CSO are doing as well. However, we wish that, you know, we see more works in the development of the local administrations and local governments to strengthen the democracy at the bottom, at the grassroots, at the, you know, the household level.
So you're clearly describing democracy as being something much more than just winning elections, but actually going much deeper in terms of creating a culture of transparency and accountability. The last few days, we've seen some reports about discussions inside the Move Forward party in parliament with some allegations of sexual harassment, etc., etc. It's a little bit of a media crisis maybe at the moment, but in a way, it could also be seen as an example for a new culture of dealing with such issues that otherwise would have been swept under the carpet in previous times. What do you make of this at the moment, and how would you sort of explain this?
I think it's a big learning curve for the guys at Move Forward party. And I think the process is extremely important. You realize that, oh, there is this crisis and people in the party disagree. It is so clear that there are groups of people who agree with one thing and there are groups of people who agree with other things. And they're not, I think the take is they're not afraid to express. And this is also very important as an institution. I mean, as a political party, you don't want to be in a political party where you have to keep silent all the time. And when disagreements like this occur, you see the deliberating process among the party MPs and also the exec members. And you see that some MPs are not happy with the result. And you also see the attempts internally to try to look for the future. Hey, what's next? What can we do better? Well, maybe we should not have done it than this one, but maybe we should have done it another way. And I think this, you know, if they can get past this rocky phase, they will become a stronger political party as an institution. And that is extremely important. At the beginning of Future Forward Party, when the party was founded, it is important for everybody to understand that the party is everybody's. So by that, it means the party has, you know, to be that open space for discussion. And of course, the learning process of, you know, the sexual harassments against the patriarchal society and the culture in Thailand is, yes, a challenging task. But this is the starting point already of the Move Forward MPs and the execs that, okay, we're going to do something about this. We got our lessons learned, and we will start doing something.
So clearly a different way of doing things than what would usually be expected from conventional political parties in Thailand. Kuntita, just one last question I would like to ask you about your own personal experience and your formative years that you have spent outside of Thailand. You're on your way to Finland, which you know very well. I would like to ask you, what has that given you, that experience of living in a North European country? And in what way do you think an experience like that can inform you and inspire you to, you know, to play an active role in changing your society, your political system? What is it sort of in Northern Europe, in Finland, that inspires you or that you admire or that you take as a lesson?
The first thing is I realized that it is such a caring society. And I think that is important to begin with. I realized that the education system cares about the students. The healthcare really cares about, you know, those who needs help. And not just that. Living in a super tiny town in Finland for a year made me realize how things work. I saw examples of my friend's father, who's a mayor of that particular town, you know, when he makes decision. At that point of time, I did not know what I saw or experienced. I kind of internalized it, but I did not really understand what it was. But then when I came back and my friends in the high school start to grow up, have their own career and everything, they start running for the local elections. And I was like, oh, this is interesting. I'm seeing my two friends, you know, contesting in different political parties. And when I was approached and offered to join Future Forward, there is this flashback of my experience in Finland that, hey, okay, I was told in Thailand that politics is not my place and it's probably a place of older, powerful men, but I saw possibilities that the caring society I liked and I wanted is possible. And it's possible because I saw some of my friends are doing exactly that. I thought, why not? I could be that one person too. So I can say that that formative year, that part of experience of my life, was one factor in deciding to join Future Forward Party at that time. I realized this actually after, it's in a retrospect, that it has an immense impact on me. And also, you know, the society that I want, this caring society where people care for each other, where the system cares for the people and everybody takes care of each other.
Thank you. That is certainly a very inspiring, nice thought to end with. I would just like to ask you, do you have any recommendation or wish to International IDEA in how we can support, how we can provide assistance to people working to strengthen their democracies or fight for democracies, and any last words you would like to share?
The report of IDEA has been extremely interesting, and that could be the first step platform for the point of the references for, you know, many different countries or different towns or different cities working on strengthening their democracy, because now you have the benchmark and you can also see where things work and where things do not work. And I think the analysis and the support is extremely important. I really like the way that it was categorized and explained in you know, different components, because democracy is complex. You cannot just put everything in one rank and then that's it. So I think the report will give the benchmark and is starting as a discussion point for, you know, different societies, for political parties, for CSO to start looking at their own as well as other achieving or not really achieving democracies in the region and outside of the region. So great work on that. I really encourage if you are working on democracy to strengthen, to do any work of the democracy, you start with that report. And also, I think one very important task that IDEA is doing as a platform of bringing the democratic forces together, that is extremely important because that is when knowledge and lessons are learned and exchanged.
Well, we will certainly try to continue doing that also with our friends and partners in Thailand. Thank you very much, Kuntita, for this conversation, and good luck back in Bangkok. And I'm sure we will have you back again at IDEA and continue this conversation on democracy. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Marcus.
Thank you for listening to the Democracy Ideas podcast. Keep following International IDEA on social media. We need all of you to participate in constructing better societies. Goodbye.